Hello and welcome to another episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives, where we are once again in sunny San Diego at ADA Sci Sessions. And this time we are really excited to be interviewing David Bahn. My name is Diana Isaac, and I'm with my wonderful co-host, Natalie Bellini. And David, we're so happy to have you here. And if you wouldn't mind just telling our listeners and viewers all about yourself and what your role is.
Of course. So my name is David Ahn. I'm an adult endocrinologist. I work at, I'm the director of a diabetes center in Orange County, California called Hoag Hospital. I'm very passionate about diabetes technology, which I think all three of us share that passion. I make some social media content. It's small, but I'm growing it. And yeah, I really am just very passionate about empowering people with diabetes, both type 1 and type 2, as I'm sure all three of us are as well.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for being here. So I have to ask, what are you excited about in the world of tech and specifically here at ADA Sci Sessions?
Yeah. So first off, I like the name Sci Sessions. I've never heard it called that, which is like really cool. So now I'm going to adopt that.
Right.
Start calling it Sci Sessions. It was funny. I was talking with someone and he basically said, it seems like the ADA this year is just, it's either obesity or diabetes technology. And I thought, I was like, wow, that's such a good summary of what it seems like all of this is about. Because I think that both of those aspects of diabetes care are just blowing up, right? With the incretin medications, and there's just been so much exciting data presented at this conference about future medications that aren't even out yet. There's so much excitement about, you know, semaglutide and tirzepatide, which are on the market, but there's all these agents that are in the pipeline that are showing even better outcomes in earlier phase trials. So I think just knowing that there's so much coming down the pike is mind-blowing, because the medications we have already are getting some pretty crazy outcomes. And then in addition to that, I think just learning about the latest updates with all the various pumps, you know, there's two new pumps on the market or AID systems on the market in the past 6 weeks. Just kind of hearing what their real world data is like. For people like us, this is like we're kids in a
right.
It's just so exciting.
It really is. It's and you can go and see all these different things and think, oh, I have a patient that may very well benefit from this system versus this system.
For sure.
The integration, all of it is really amazing. It's exciting, right?
Yeah, it's really fascinating. I mean, I think one thing that is just, it's funny because I didn't think I would get this excited about, but just like the Beta Bionics concept. I don't know. I guess I should reserve some judgment until I get patients that come back on it. But just the fact that there's so little input and so little what I call knobs to turn, I feel like for a certain subset of patients that just have not been able to do well on pump therapy or just were not previously considered to be a good pump therapy candidate, I'm really optimistic that Beta Bionics will be able to like expand that pump market. Because I have a few patients I've already prescribed it to that, you know, their A1Cs are like, they're happy when their A1C is 9, you know,
right.
And I know they're trying hard to some degree because they're coming into my office, they're making their visits, but I think they just really didn't have a tool that was simple enough for them to take advantage of. So yeah, I don't know. That's just one example of a new system that I'm really excited about.
Yeah, me too. I mean, just the startup of it and the fact that it's just entering in the weight.
Yeah.
Because when I think about how complicated it's been to come up with insulin pump settings in the past and all the calculations and everything, and then a lot of times people aren't on the optimal settings and then that creates confusion. How do you adjust it? And this, I mean, it's simpler for the person with diabetes, but also the healthcare team. So I'm like you. I'm also looking forward to seeing how it plays out in practice.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because insulin is a weight-based drug.
Right.
Right. When someone goes into the hospital with diabetes, we use weight-based dosing, right? And it tends to work. Not always. Sometimes they're on steroids. Sometimes they're in a bed and they don't move. So there are some challenges, obviously. But it tends to be that if we stick with the weight-based dosing, they do pretty well, right? Our outcomes are okay. So this pump is sort of matching that, saying, well, it really should work at this level. But I like the idea that you can do its usual amount of food that I ate. It's a higher than usual or a lower than usual, right? There are three choices for each meal.
Right.
And it gets smarter as it's used. I'm impressed with those aspects of it.
To your point, Diana, what's kind of funny is like, as I think about it more, it's really doing what a lot of what's already happened, right? Because if you think about it, a lot of times if someone's new to a pump, what's happening? the CDCES, who's doing the training, will fill out the worksheet based on their weight, coming up with an estimate of total daily dose, and then, you know, some guesstimates using, you know, the different roles, the 450 role, 1800 role. And then a lot of times patients, we're not perfect at carb counting, right? And patients can do pretty well just if they bolus anything for their...
Right.
So the concepts behind what Beta Bionics is doing is it's not like groundbreaking, but almost the fact that you're losing the knobs. I think for a certain type of patient and maybe a certain type of prescriber could be really helpful. And you don't feel guilty for not overthinking it because you can't overthink it.
Right.
To temper my enthusiasm, of course, I'm not saying this is for everybody. Like, I think most existing pump users probably aren't going to be switching to Beta Bionics, but I just get excited about adding a different type of market for AID. And, you know, with technology, whether it's CGM or AID, I think the more people that use it, the better.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, it's often a lot of trial and error. You come up with these based on these settings, and then you have to change studio by.
That's right. Yeah.
I know that. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So the exhibit hall.
Yes.
Talk about that. I saw you took a little video of the
pylons. I know you've been there. So yeah. What have you seen that's been exciting?
Yeah. So I guess one thing I would start by saying is, like, I don't know. I just get excited. Something about ADA and conferences like this, I just get, there's like a giddiness that happens. It's like you see the signage, you see the bus ads, and I don't know. It like the diabetes nerd in me is just like, this is so cool. It's like, these are my people. These are my ads.
Right.
And so I think that is always exciting. And then you kind of walk into the exhibit hall and you just see how beautiful some of these exhibits are, the, you know, crazy LCD displays, and you see the ads. I made a quick post about the competing ad between Libre and Dexcom, those circular ads. It was like one that said smallest size on body wear for Libre 3, and Dexcom V7 said most accurate CGM. And it was funny because it almost looked like they were competing little size.
Right.
But just kind of that friendly interaction between all these different companies that are really touting their latest and greatest. It's just fun walking these at the hall and seeing old friends. I think that just the advances in the G7 and the Libre 3 are just, it's just been such an exciting year for continuous glucose monitoring in general. And, you know, hopefully with the soon to come integration of the Libre 2 and the G7 with the different AID systems, I think that's something that people really can't wait for. I don't know. No one probably asks you this. What are you guys?
Right.
You guys
been excited? I'm excited about the Tandem integration. I think that the biggest thing for me is, you know, we have these issues with prescribing, right? I can give you 30 days of Dexcoms.
Yeah.
And that's it. Not 28, not 32, 30. So if you don't call in one that didn't work the full time, or I fell off or whatever, I'm out. And now you can go into the pump or when it's launched and say, I went and bought one for cash at the drugstore.
Yeah.
And I bought a Libre or vice versa, right? And put one on and not lose. It's a Thursday night, the office is closed, there's a holiday, whatever, right? Like, and you're going to be able to continue therapy.
Right.
I also think that there will be some preferential insurance coverage soon. We're starting to see pockets of that for CGM where one company is preferred over another. And so we don't know that today. It might be different. It's like prescribing mealtime insulin. I feel like every other day they choose which one is, and you and I fill out all the prescriptions all over again, right? I think that the idea that a person with diabetes can go into their own pump and say, today I'm wearing this brand, tomorrow I'm wearing this brand, and not boo, the potential of continuity of care is very exciting to me.
Right.
Because we know that wearing the AID systems improve outcomes in general, right? It increases time and range. It reduces hypoglycemia. So I'm very excited about that.
Yeah. So I'm always looking for like off the beaten path. I'm like, what did you see? There are not, you know, you don't usually see. So, I mean, there was one company with, you know, another CGM product that's they're looking 2025. Non-invasive sensors, though,
yeah,
I think is where things are really at. And of course, there's no commercial systems available right now, but there's multiple companies that are really, I think, getting closer to that true non-invasive sensor. And so I met one of them this morning, and it's just exciting to see where that'll go and like how that will fit into the whole paradigm. Like the idea that you could just detach at any point
and not have to worry about like, oh, you wasted a sensor,
right?
Like it fell off. You have to go to, you know, because it's like reusable and you just take it on and off so easily. So I don't know. I'm pretty excited about that to see where that's coming from. And then also this idea of like, not just glucose, but can you combine that with, of course, the continuous ketone monitor? And can you even combine that with like heart rate or blood pressure and get that all in the same device? So these are like, I don't know, kind of cool things that,
And I think that part of it, you know, if I can monitor ketones, blood pressure, heart rate, what is diabetes? Diabetes, the biggest complication is heart disease, right? MIs and stroke. So if we can keep an eye on those things, that in general, wouldn't we hope that would improve outcomes, right? I mean, that's the whole idea of it,
right?
It's amazing.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about like artificial intelligence and how we're using,
right?
Can we use that more in healthcare? And yeah, I don't know, like it's
pretty exciting, right? Speaking of, talk to us about your online presence and how you've like transitioned and how you're going to, you know, we both saw your video of the exhibit hall,
right?
That you put online. Tell us about how you, as a clinician, you know, what do you decide to talk about? How do you do it? And because I can tell you love it.
Yeah.
We can see when you're in your film, you love it.
Yeah. It's funny because, so I do make some social media content. And it started off actually very timid and in a very boring way. You know, all of us were locked in our rooms because of COVID or whatever. And I was, you know, like many people, I was exploring TikTok. And it was just kind of like, wow, this is a really fascinating delivery method of information. And, you know, I was learning about personal finance or whatever, all these random people on my TikTok feed were talking about. And I was like, this is a great way to learn. It's engaging. These are true educational information I'm getting, but I'm learning it in an engaging way. And it's fun. And so I started to think, like, how can I do this for my patients? And so it literally just started off with me making videos for my patients. Because I thought, you know, instead of repeating myself every time or, like, telling people what the new features of the Libre 3 were, I was like, okay, I'll just make a video about the new features of Libre 3 and I'll just email it to my patients. So I started making, like, I called them, like, Dr. On's weekly videos. And I was making videos just kind of going over new updates in diabetes technology. But I was way too embarrassed to like upload them anywhere. You know, I always thought like TikTok was for like dancing or whatever. So, you know, I didn't do that. But the funny thing was I actually was using TikTok to make my videos, like just to create for my
people. Right. Yeah. Not posting up, right.
Because I was like, I don't want other people to see, but the app to actually create video is really brilliant. It's really well made. Instagram stories is really well made too. So I was using TikTok to make videos for my patients, but I wasn't sharing them on TikTok. And then at some point I realized like, I was spending an extra 45 minutes, you know, converting it to the right format, emailing it to my patients, coming up with a caption. I was uploading it to a different server called Vimeo. And so at some point I was like, you know what? It's already hard enough as it is, which we can talk about too. But I was like, I'm just going to see what happens and upload a video to TikTok and just like tell my patients to find me on TikTok. And it just kind of took off. I made a video, I think, I made a video on Eversense actually, and it had like 60,000 views.
Wow.
Like I just remember waking up and my phone was like blowing up. I was like, oh my gosh, I just made this at like 1 a.m. in like 30 minutes.
Right.
And like 60,000 people watched it in like a day. Wow. And it just kind of blew my mind. And I was like, wow, like maybe there's something really here. And it's really, I love the technology, you can probably already tell. And so I was already making the video. So I just decided to try doing it more often. And it's been a really exciting opportunity. And it's nice for us because, like, I don't know, I don't feel pressure. I just do it because I enjoy it. There might be weeks where I don't make anything. And then there might be a week where I make 5 videos back to back. And it's been really fun. I think it helps people. I think what's crazy is I'll get random comments. Like someone will be like, one person messaged me and they said, you know, my son, I learned about smartphone mobile bolus for Control IQ through your video. And I shared it with my son. And now he's like actually bolusing for his meals. Or like another person said, I was just diagnosed with diabetes and I like watched your videos. And like, thank you so much for telling us about like CGM and pumps. And it's just like things like that. And you're like, I don't even know who this person is.
Right. You know, where were they? Where were you? Right.
And the other thing is, like, there's so much bad information out there, whether it's, like, in diabetes or other things. I feel like, you know, it's nice to have voices like our voices or the people that you're, you know, I would encourage you guys all to really do it. I think it's kind of the way of the future. I think our patients are eventually going to be finding us this way, or they're going to get to know us this way. So I know it's a little scary, and maybe you can start like me by just making videos for your patients, but I'm glad I did it that way, because I think I would never have been like, I want to make a TikTok. But I think by like starting in a very way, in a very conservative way, where I didn't have to worry about being self-conscious, it actually like got me over that hump. So I would really encourage you guys to do it. It's strangely addicting too. I don't know if you guys felt that way.
Inspiring, right. Well, I don't know. I've probably worked on 60,000. I thought I've been
right before.
Started, right? But I'm definitely inspired. But no, it is fun. I mean, I like sharing information and I like having an impact. And you could definitely have a bigger impact on social media than you.
Absolutely.
I mean, any room we present, it's just people there. But when it's on social media, there's a wider audience. So,
right. And when we talk about underserved areas where there is one endocrinologist and there are two in the state, right? And they're, you know, Sean and Tamara Osier did a study where some educators, the average person is 4 hours, right? You know, these numbers are staggeringly pressing,
yeah.
Right? They don't have access. So if you live in a rural area and you don't have access, having something online has good information is phenomenal opportunity for people to learn what they have, you know, access, right?
Yeah, you make a really good point. I mean, I feel like one of the things that comes up a lot is people, whether it's like on my videos or just in, you know, diabetes social media in general, is like you'll see people talk about how they have doctors that like lack empathy or people right. that, you know, don't present them options. And one of the things I'm blown away by that, because I'm like, I know so many good doctors. I know so many good CDCSs. I know so many good pharmacists. It's like, and so, you know, that's why I encourage you guys to like get out there and, you know, like reach maybe patients that are people that you wouldn't otherwise see in your clinics. And they should know that there's so many people here walking around the Sci sessions that care about this and love this stuff. And so, it's just a great way to kind of filter through the noise. So that these people, maybe you're in a state where, yeah, you don't have an endo and the one that is local doesn't even care about diabetes. MBD loves thyroid or something.
Right.
So being able to access this information on social media is pretty powerful.
Yeah, I love it. So where do you think the future is going with diabetes? Like, what's going to be the next thing?
Right.
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I think, I have a few thoughts here. So one, like, moonshot or kind of true under the radar thing. I also like under the radar things that
no one's
talking about. I think overnight AID is an interesting concept.
What's that concept?
Yes.
The Luna guy, right?
so if you don't know what we're talking about, there's a startup called Luna Diabetes, and they're trying to build a patch pump that does automated insulin delivery, but only overnight. So you would use MDI during the day, multiple daily injections, and then at night when you're going to sleep, you would put on a patch, and it would do a little bit of auto basal adjustment overnight, and then you wake up and take it off. And I just think that concept is so brilliant, because we all know there's, whether it's 25%, whether it's 40%, 50%, there's a stalwart of people with type 1 diabetes that just won't wear a pump, no matter what.
Right.
You know, it's just not conducive to their lifestyle. But we also know that EID improves people's lives and control, especially overnight.
Right.
So if they can really crack the code of improving blood sugar control overnight, you know, getting those random 2 a.m. spikes, I think that would be a really amazing concept. And that would like, it would basically bring EID to our MDI users, which is kind of the dream for a lot of people, because then you're not having anything attached to you. So that's kind of a weird dark horse candidate for kind of a way of the future. But I mean, I think the more mainstream answer, which I think is not rocket science, but still very exciting, is just less burden, right? Like making EID algorithms that are smarter and require less interaction. And also maybe just blending tools, right? Just like Luna blends MDI and EID, like maybe blending Afrezza with pump therapy, or just different things like that, you know? And the last thing, I guess, is also not rocket science, but just like more choices, right?
Right.
Like, you know, whether it's, I'm really excited about the pipeline of like Eversense, right? They have like an implanted, like a fully implanted no transmitter concept that's a few generations away. Like if they can get to that point, that's cool. You have a sensor fully implanted, nothing visible. And that might appeal to certain people. So I just feel like as we get more sensors, more pumps, more algorithms, just the fact that you can like, hopefully you can get, it'll get to the point where you can like choose your favorite sensor, choose your favorite algorithm, choose your favorite pump.
Right.
Like that's how it should be. And I really hope we get to that point. I don't know. What about you guys?
I agree. I think that choice, personal choice, you know, I mean, you and I've been in diabetes long enough to know, to remember people picking insulin pumps because they're pink.
Right.
And I'm like, you picked it because it's pink, not because of an algorithm, not because of the cartridge size, not because of any of it. And yet it empowered the person to make that, to feel empowered from that choice. To me, that's everything, right?
Sure.
So when someone can say, I'd like this and this, like they're kind of at McDonald's, right? And pick and choose. And then maybe 3, 6, 8 weeks later, 6 months later, 2 years later, say, I'm going to start doing this or that, or I've stopped doing this or that. I want to reconfigure. That to me is, it is true care.
Yeah. I also think we're going to have a paradigm where a lot of people with type 2 diabetes, there's going to be less and less using insulin because of these like amazing new incretin therapies. But I also think, and I'm hopeful the incretin therapies are going to penetrate the type 1 community more and more. Obviously, people are doing it now off label.
Right.
But hopefully,
that was terrible.
Right.
Yeah.
And it will, they'll be properly studied.
Exactly.
Start to become standard of care really for all people with diabetes. So I think the future is really bright.
I do too.
So thank you so much for interviewing with us. And thank you so much to all of our viewers for tuning into this episode of Diabetes Dialogue.